As we prepare to hear the word of God proclaimed, please join me in the prayer of illumination. You can find it on the screens or printed in your bulletin. Praying as one. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, in that your light we may see light, in your truth, freedom, and in your will, discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture lesson is in Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And following that, there'll be chapter 4, the entire chapter. And you'll begin on page 1865 of your Pew Bible. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. See to it. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divining soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Let us pray. Lord God, Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am so grateful to our Lord and Savior for his undeserved grace, which allows me, a sinner, to stand before you today. Over the past 5 years, I have felt the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit calling me to share messages that he has placed on my heart. Those of you who know me know that I can be quite stubborn and headstrong. I was always able to suppress and ignore that calling until it would slowly fade away. I am so grateful to the Holy Spirit for never giving up on me. The Lord has placed people in my path over the last few years who have stirred and ignited and brought me confidence to know that perhaps this is something that I needed to do. The seeds over time helped to change my heart, preparing me to stand before you today. We all have a story to tell. While this is a small part of my journey, it is one that many of you might be able to relate to and perhaps see a piece of yourself in it. My intention is not to walk you through a sob story of a personal challenge in an attempt to get your sympathy. Quite the opposite. I want to share with you a story of how the Lord empowered and redefined the word rest in my life. About 3 years ago, my mom went in for a difficult but what is now becoming a rather routine heart surgery. After about 4 weeks, it was obvious that something was going drastically wrong. Long story short, within 3 months, she died. My father, whose memory was beginning to fail at the time, was alone and confused. Life was never going to be the same. I physically lost my mother and became the primary caregiver of my father, who was very much alive, but losing a small piece of himself each day. I don't need to tell you that taking care of one family is a challenge in today's world, but add in a headstrong, stubborn, grown man, and things get even more complicated. In the midst of my hospital visits and managing two families, I clearly remember calling out to the Lord, pleading that he grant my family, my dad, my mom, peace. I was struggling, overwhelmed by life. I needed rest. I am glad to report that my consistent cries to the Lord did not go unanswered. I must admit, however, it was certainly not what I had expected. The answer for my prayer for rest and peace was not to heal my parents. It wasn't even to minimize the stress in my life. Quite the contrary. The answer was to actively serve Him. The Lord wanted me to do more. He wanted me to serve His church as an elder. I often thank the Holy Spirit for preparing my heart to accept this call. I was thirsty for a better way. His answer to my plea for rest was not the earthly rest we think of. It was rest for my soul. I just didn't see it at the time. Flash forward about 3 months ago, and I was rereading one of my favorite passages where Jesus promises rest when we are tired and overwhelmed. Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think I must have heard or read that passage over 100 times in the past. I even remember doing a children's message where I had a picture and I was quizzing the kids about what a yoke was and we walked around connected together. But this time, when I read that passage, something was drastically different. And I know this is going to sound crazy. Well, maybe not to you, but when I tell people who don't routinely go to church, they think I'm crazy. But as I was reading the passage, I actually felt like a veil or something different was happening, was being lifted off my face. The words "rest for my soul" literally popped off the pages into my brain. The Heavenly Spirit was actively at work in the scriptures and in my heart. I was excited to explore the importance of these words in scripture, but really in my life as well. With the Holy Spirit at the helm, I set out to learn more about rest. My journey, which started in Matthew, quickly took me to the book of Hebrews. Now, I would love to tell you that this miraculous unveiling of scripture as I was reading Hebrews happened, but that would be a lie. As I was reading Hebrews, I was stumbling. It was quite a challenge. I wasn't sure why I was led to this passage, and I often found myself praying for wisdom. Knowing that the Lord never calls without equipping, I kept moving forward in trust, and I knew that at some point, it would all come together. Tuesday morning, while on a walk, I finally received clarity. This message was to focus on the perfect rest of the Trinity: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's some debate about who authored the book of Hebrews. Originally, scholars believed it was Paul, and then later, perhaps they thought Luke and Barnabas. The truth is, the further I looked, the more names that joined the list. But for our purpose, we know who the ultimate originator is. It's being written to a group of Jewish Christians that were experiencing some serious persecution, so bad that they were considering returning back to Judaism. They were beginning to believe that following this new Christ was not maybe for them. They were growing weary. Perhaps I can give this message a little bit of context by relating it to a pastor, perhaps a pastor who's speaking to his congregation, who truly loves them and sees them losing hope, losing faith. He wants them to stay focused on the promises of Christ. So we begin our journey in Hebrews 3:11, which begins with a walk down memory lane, and it takes us back actually to Psalm 95. He reminds them that there were great Jewish leaders, but in spite of their guidance, the Jews were unable at that time to enter the promised land. Hear the word. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, for 40 years they saw what I did. That's why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Moses led the people to the promised land, but because of their lack of trust and faith, they were unable to enter. This reference back to Psalms was not random. It was a purposeful look back in time. He was saying, look, they tried it the old way, and it didn't work. The grass is not always greener on the other side. I can imagine that it really got the listeners' attention, and it reminded them that even though things are tough, things were not better in the past. The writer continues in Hebrews 4 with some great news. He reminds them that even though the rest was not attained by the people of Israel at that time, it's still available to them. He wants them to stay focused on God's promise in Christ through grace as the only way to get eternal rest. As I read this passage, I can hear the optimism in his voice. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you are found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said. The writer goes on to describe the Sabbath rest created by God the Father. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also enters rest from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. The first rest that we see is the perfect rest of God the Father. It came on the seventh day of creation. After creating for 6 days, God rested. It was not because he was tired or overwhelmed from creating, but rather he rested because he was done. His creation was complete, perfect. We have all finished many projects in our time. Some good, some bad, but none perfect. God's rest is a foretaste of the rest to come when the kingdom of the Lord is restored, the rest of eternal life. There has always been an invitation and a desire for all his people to have that eternal life, but because of sin, the door was closed. Enter the second type of rest. As we look to Hebrews 4, we see the rest we find in Jesus, the Son. Hear the word. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne with grace and confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The door into God's perfect rest of eternity due to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ the Son is now open. We are forgiven and made whole. The rest we get from Jesus the Son is rest for our soul, knowing that we do not have to earn our way into eternity. We are sinners, unable to stop no matter how hard we try. The rest comes from knowing that we are saved through grace alone. So given that God the Father created the perfect rest of completion in eternity, and Jesus gave us eternal rest for our soul, knowing that we don't have to earn our way into heaven, we are done. We can put our feet up, free of any responsibility. Well, yes, but not so fast. Enter the third type of rest, compliments of the Holy Spirit. It's a rest of action. I know, you must be thinking, I have lost my mind, and perhaps you are correct. This oxymoron is truly a rest of action. It's not the absence of action. Given the promise of eternal rest through grace that comes from God the Father and Christ the Son, we are compelled to behave a certain way out of love and gratitude. The Holy Spirit opens the door and grants us the opportunity to be used as instruments of the Lord. Please don't misunderstand. I am not suggesting that God needs our help to complete his perfect plan. It will happen regardless of what we do. Our natural response, however, should be one of excitement, gratitude, and action. Truly humbled, that this God we serve would allow us to participate in his plan. To see the instructions of how this rest of action should manifest itself in us, we take a few examples from the closing remarks of Hebrews 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. We are called to serve because the Lord so freely gives us love. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to show real kindness and compassion to everyone that we meet, especially strangers. The Holy Spirit places people in our path that need to know about the saving grace of this Lord we serve. Thinking about this message in the car on Friday, I was literally moved to tears when I heard a song that I had heard many times on the radio, but my heart was so into this message that it was amazing that they penetrated my soul. I was teasing my family last night and I pretended to sing, well, I actually did sing it to them, and I said, I don't think anybody will mind, and they all laughed, so I'm not going to sing it to you. But hear these words, because it touches. We've met, and the song, by the way, is by Sidewalk Prophets. It's called Save My Life. We've met half a dozen times. I know your name. I know you don't know mine, but I won't hold it against you. You come here every Friday night. I take your order and try to be polite and hide what I'm going through. If you looked me right in the eye, would you see the pain deep inside? Would you take the time to tell me what I need to hear? Tell me that I'm not forgotten. Show me there's a God who can be more than I ever wanted. Come right now, I need a little hope. I need to know that I'm not alone. Maybe God is calling you tonight to tell me something that might save my life. I was moved to tears for two reasons. First, can't believe the God we serve through the power of the Holy Spirit invites us to be his foot soldiers here on earth. And secondly, and sadly, I wonder how many times I walk through life and am too consumed with myself to notice others. The next example from the Holy Spirit, we look to Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders who speak the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Holy Spirit unveils the perfect teachings of our awesome God through the words of the Bible. We are to actively learn with other believers, reading, studying, implementing its instructions. I am always amazed when the Holy Spirit opens my eyes to a scripture passage and connects it to something relevant going through my life. The Bible's teachings are a blueprint of the believer's life. It can often expose our sinful shortcomings and show us a better way. Lastly, the rest that we get from the Holy Spirit, we can see in Hebrews 13. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is yet to come. The Holy Spirit pushes us outside of our comfort zone. Actively following Christ means that we need to leave this building. When Jesus walked on the earth, his life was not easy. He suffered a terrible death. His followers, as you heard in the previous passages, were persecuted. Many died sharing the good news with non-believers. I am not suggesting that our lives need to mirror the sufferings of those in the past. I'm just trying to add a tad of perspective. When fear prevents us from acting on the request of the Holy Spirit, we need to remember those who went before us. We are not alone. Active rest means we must leave the safety of the known. In summary, knowing God the Father created the perfect resting place for us when his kingdom fully comes allows us to view life differently. We understand that life is temporary, and when the afflictions of our physical body and those we love will one day be restored. I had the privilege of visiting one of our members last week with Tom, and we brought communion, and she was ending her time here on earth. She greeted us with a small smile. Her body was frail, but her soul was very much intact. She squeezed my hand as we prayed, and she was able to recite parts of the Lord's Prayer. She was at peace, secure in knowing that soon she would enter God's perfect rest. We are freed from fear, from the fear of dying, knowing that we have an eternal resting place. Knowing Jesus the Son freely died on the cross to pay a price for our sins allows us to live life with confidence, knowing that by grace, one day, we will enter the same perfect resting place. We find peace in knowing that we don't have to rely on our own good works for salvation. We are forgiven and loved in spite of ourselves and our sin. Nothing will ever change that. A few weeks ago, I spent some time in Patterson, and at the end of the Bible story, you have the opportunity to gather with small groups of children. And I was sitting with four or five girls, and we were talking about the Bible story, and one of the little girls looks me in the face, and she said to me, "Oh, my uncle's not going to be able to go to heaven because he's done some bad things and he's in prison." And I said, "Oh, honey," you know, I was so excited to open the door. I said, "That's not true." And we looked in the Bible and I said, "Remember, you know, we need to believe in Jesus Christ. We are all sinners and we are all forgiven." She was so excited to know that someone that she truly cared about, that there was an opening, that he could come to know Christ. When she left that day, she couldn't wait to go home and share that good news, that even her uncle in jail was important to Jesus. And lastly, knowing the Holy Spirit is always with us, we are challenged to live a life of active participation. We move through our lives with a different type of strength and wisdom. We are privileged and empowered by the Lord to be his foot soldiers here on earth. We are equipped to go out and make disciples and bring good news to a hurting world. We find rest in serving our great God. The work of the Holy Spirit is all around us. We often hear the secular word describe it as coincidences. As believers, we know differently. The funny thing about the Holy Spirit is that as powerful as it is, in our sinful human nature, we don't always respond to the urging. We make excuses suggesting that while we are flattered to be asked, there is definitely someone else better suited for the job. As for my story, I look back over the past few years and I am truly amazed when I see the complexity of God's plan in my life. When I cried out for rest, I was called to serve. When I see my dad slipping away, I am reminded that by grace, he will one day be restored. And when I see a hurting world, I know that I should do more. Rest redefined. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our powerful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift of your word. Give us wisdom to understand it and strength to act on it. Empower us to share it with others and forever give glory and honor to you, by whose grace alone we are saved. Amen. Please stand with me. And in love, with one heart and one voice, profess the faith of the church at all times, in all places, using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.